Join us at this gathering site here in the Valley of the Flowers. We're beginning to tell stories. These are the stories we've learned long ago from many of the great wisdom traditions on this planet.
A child asks,
"Why do we come here every year?"
We come here so we'll never forget. We come with our hearts full of gratitude for the courageous men, women, and children who lived at the turn of the last millennium, the time of the Great Turning. The people living in the late 20th and early 21st century, they were our ancestors. Without them and their love and their courageous actions, we might not be here. I have come to the gathering site every year for 60 years. I will tell you a story.
When human beings first walked planet Earth, they lived simply, respecting the Earth. They honored the fresh, clean air. They honored the crystal clear water. They honored the rich, fertile land. But then, people became careless. Their amazing inventions, buildings that reached the sky, and spaceships that could circle the Earth, cars that ran on gasoline and housed with all kinds of things called modern conveniences and appliances, these things got out of hand. All these things helped them to become quite comfortable. So comfortable, in fact, they didn't notice the green ooze. It was easy to miss at first. Green ooze first appeared in the air, just a bit of it. People coughed more and the sky was no longer clear, but it didn't seem to hurt, so they didn't pay any attention. Then the green ooze got into the water. The fish and the whales and the tiny invisible animals in the ocean began to die. But the people couldn't see them. Fish and other animals in the water became more scarce. Even some people remembered back when they could swim in the lakes and the rivers without worrying if the water was polluted. And they could eat the fish without worrying if it was poisoned. But most people thought it wasn't that bad, so they didn't pay any attention. Then, the green ooze got into the land. The plants that grew on the land were weaker and they were susceptible to diseases and bugs that would destroy them. The people tried to grow stronger varieties of food plants, which worked for a few years. They put fertilizers and pesticides in the land, which made the plants look more healthy. But it killed the birds and hurt the people who worked in the fields. In the forests, the changes were so gradual that only a very few people who knew how to pass on knowledge of the forests noticed the changes. But very few people changed the way they did things. Then, through the air and the water and the land, the green ooze began to get inside the people. Some of the people got sick. The people were very smart, and they looked for cures. They loved the people who were sick, but they also seemed to love the machines that produced the Green News. So much of the Green News kept pouring out of their machines and their factories and their energy plants. And though they didn't like the Green News, they didn't stop making it.
Why didn't they do something?
Well, that's a good question. Let me tell you a story about frogs. Did you know that if you dropped a frog in boiling water, he would jump out to save himself? But if you place a frog in cold water, then slowly heat the water, a frog will not realize what is happening. It will settle down, become comfortable, and by the time that frog realizes something is wrong, it's too weak to jump out. It's cooked. That's the way human beings are. That's why they didn't know anything to do to save themselves. Children at the gathering sites because the children were the first to listen to the cries of the planet. They heard the river speak. It said,
"Stop killing me. All the green ooze you dump into me is killing me. I want the fish to grow big and strong. I want plants and animals and bugs to have a good place.
Of course, the river didn't speak in words. It spoke in the dirty foam on its waves and the trash that lined the banks and the oily crust that was left where the water met the shore. But the children knew what the river was saying. And the children heard the whisper of the wind saying,
"Stop killing me. I have much power. I can share with you, but this green ooze is killing me."
Again, the children understood what the air was saying by the soot that kept clinging to the horizon. And the air stung their eyes, and they began to cry. The children also heard the great rumble of the land saying,
"Stop killing me! Stop killing me! I provide you with food, but the pesticides and the fertilizers you use are killing me." I begin to look forward to the day when the human species dies out.
More and more children had noticed the earth and the air and the water trying to speak to them. And as they began to talk to one another, they realized that the elements weren't just talking to one child. They were crying out to all the children. They began to realize what the elements were saying was true. If people didn't do something to stop the green ooze, the elements would die. And they knew that if that happened, they would die too. They wanted the earth to live, not just sputter along, but to live, vibrant and healthy. They wanted all children, for years to come, to be able to run on grassy hills without coughing. They wanted to pull their food from the ground, not from plastic packages. They wanted to drink water without having to put tablets in it first. It was clear that they must do something. But what?
That was a tough question. The earliest children, the ones who noticed the elements crying, came together to think of something to do. They gathered and they talked and they thought and they listened quietly to the earth to see if the planet had anything to say. The children took time to hear the cries of the elements, worked to free them from the ooze and the slime that was killing them. But just as soon as they had it all cleaned up, more ooze came in and it covered it again. The children were horrified. They knew they were watching their own futures slowly dying. They wanted to stop it. But they couldn't think of what to do. So they came together in frustration and grief, wondering how they could find enough people willing to help. And as they prayed for a hope not yet discovered, all was silent. Please join us in a moment of silence. It soon became clear to the children that they needed help in order to stop the green ooze from killing the planet. They began to hold meetings and invite others. They wrote newspaper articles and spoke with politicians. They made phone calls and met with city officials. They planted trees and they cleaned up creeks and rivers. The original groups of children got their friends involved until hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids were working to stop the green ooze. And even when they were very, very busy, they never forgot to leave time to listen to the earth. They played outdoors, they climbed trees, and they lay down in the grass watching the clouds, and they sat quietly listening. Some adults didn't take the kids seriously at first, but slowly many adults began to hear the babbling of the river, the whispering of the wind, and the rumbling of the earth. They began to come to meetings and talk to people and help clean creeks and plant trees. The movement became very strong. Soon they realized that if everyone wanted to stop the green ooze, they could do it. The children and adults working to stop the green ooze had to get the attention of others who did not care, who didn't see the green problems, and who didn't pay attention to the green ooze. Some of these people were busy with other important things. Some had become captains of greed. Some cared a lot about what was happening, but they felt powerless and hopeless. They had forgotten all about the many children who would come after them, who would be depending on them to keep these elements alive. And they had forgotten about the elements themselves who were depending on the people to keep them alive. The elements felt discouraged. It was clear they were overpowered. Now they almost seemed to be giving up. The children saw this and began to sing. The children then created a sparkle dance to help them wake up the people to what was happening.
Will all the children and adults who would like to participate in the spiral dance, please come up front on either side. We're going to do the dance together. This dance is simple. There aren't a lot of steps. Everyone holds hands in several circles. And now while still holding hands, we'll turn toward your right as the drum begins to beat. We will walk backwards. So if we could have people who are willing to be part of our circle, come to either side. Looks like there might be more room past that big speaker over there. Remember, we go to our right to begin with. Grab circles in the hands in the circle, and begin moving to your right. Come back with me into a story whose message lives in us still. The story belongs to every person, every group, every living thing. The story lives like the beat of this drum, like the heartbeat of our living universe. From this moment, you will walk backwards through time, move back through the events and encounters of this day, this week, this month, this year. Walk back through the decades into your younger years, your childhood. Soon, you are a baby in your mother's arms. Now, back in her womb. And returning to the moment of this life's very beginning. But what lives in you did not begin then. Walk back into your parents' lives. Their meeting, their youth and teenage years, and their childhood. Back into the wombs that bore them, back into your grandparents. Continue back slowly into and through the centuries, into ancestors whose names you no longer know. But a gesture of theirs, a smile or turn of the head lives on in you. Keep moving back upstream in this river of life, back through the industrial era, back into simpler, harsher times marked by the seasons, back into the Middle Ages. Walk back through the lives of men and women, peasants and teachers, scholars, artists, thieves, who even then bore you within them like a future seed. Move back through the time of the plague and pilgrimage into lives of ancestors with hands like yours that cherish the stones of great cathedrals and eyes like yours that track the movements of stars. Keep going back, back, back to the dawning of civilizations we know, and enter the early wandering times, the small bands in forest settlements, their feasts and rituals around the sacred fire and their long marches during the ages of ice. Back through the millennia, you walk with them to your beginnings in the heartland of Africa. And now with the very first ones, you stand at the edge of a forest. Pause now. stop. Look out over the savannah. The journey of your people lies ahead. Walk now to your left, forward into the future. Retrace your steps, returning through time. Each ancestor has a gift to bestow. Open your arms and hands to receive it as you walk up through the centuries. They who passed on to you the texture of your skin, the shape of your back, the marrow in your bones, also have courage to give you, and stubbornness, and laughter. These gifts are yours for the taking. Gather them as you come forward through the years to this present moment, this brink of time. They who loved and tended this earth leave for you the strength and wisdom you will need now to do what must be done, so their journey and yours may continue. Please return now to your seats. Thank you, dancers and drummer. The children created dances and plays and wrote stories. They published articles in magazines and newspapers. They tended gardens and planted flowers. They cleaned up trash and restored lakes. All the while, the green ooze was choking more rivers, poisoning more land, and making the air thick and dirty looking. It took many years, and some of the children were no longer children. But finally, the cleanup began in earnest. The great turning had begun. Factories and energy plants and machines and automobiles were stopped from releasing any more green ooze into the environment. The wind and the water and the sun and the plants were happy to share their power with the people. The people cleaned up the rivers and planted new trees. They composted what they could and gave back to the land. But some of the green ooze was so dangerous it could not be cleaned up nor composted. It was so dangerous it could not be let out into the environment without causing serious illness and death. It was so toxic, in fact, that it would have to be kept out of the biosphere for many times longer than recorded history. At first, the people thought they might dig giant holes in rocks under the earth to put this dangerous green ooze in. But the earth rumbled and said, "If you put this green ooze out of sight, you humans will forget it. The containers will corrode and this dangerous green ooze will again seep into the land and into the groundwater. You must store it somewhere where you will never forget." Wow. And that is how the gathering sites came to be. All over the world, This dangerous green ooze was put into waste containers at gathering sites. The containers are monitored and repaired religiously. They are centers of reflection and pilgrimage, where the wisdom traditions of our planet offer context of meaning, and where people keep watch. They're beautiful places where people plant trees and flowers, and where they keep beautiful art. It is here where all people come once a year to remember. To remember what happens when human beings can become careless. To remember the days when the green ooze covered the planet. To remember the days of the great turning. When the children tipped the balance and the great cleanup began. To remember with gratitude and compassion all of the people who lived during those hard times. And to remember the rebirth and liberation of our great planet, Earth.
It was the children, the most sensitive among us, who understood deep in their bones that what we were doing was hurting everything around us. It wasn't fair to the people who depended on the elements to live, or to the children not yet born who depended on us to keep it all going. The children saw the pain and the unfairness, and they understood that it had to stop. It was the children among us, the child within us, that finally allowed us to make a difference. It's a difference we are called to make. We are all asked to remember, and we accept with gratitude. In every one of our efforts, the planet rejoices. Let us rejoice together in our commitment to care for our planet.